the governor laid out plans for reopening the state in five phases. You've probably heard a lot about that by now. Some pushback on part of the plan from Republican leadership, from some small business owners as well, and downstate and suburban mayors as well have been outspoken and critical of what the governor has proposed here. There are competing proposals, and one of them comes from State Rep. Blaine Willhauer. He joins us now, and thanks for being on WGN, Representative.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, so you've had conversations with the governor, and you have a new three-phase plan, or one that you've put together. What has been what have the conversations been like? I want to get to the substance of it, but overall, what is the how is it being received?
I mean, as far as the conversation with the governor, I've only had one personal conversation with the governor. It was about 2 weeks ago. We talked for about 45 minutes on a Saturday morning, and I just implored to him that if we don't start seeing some serious regionalization in these plans, get some people back to work ASAP, people simply aren't going to comply. You know, I really pressed to him, you've got to start thinking about the consent of the governed, because you have lost the consent of the governed in our part of the state. And
what you're hearing from small business owners, Representative? I want to know where you're hearing that, because I imagine you're talking to constituents about their feelings. Yeah. About and what are you hearing?
Right. I mean, it's a complete disaster. This lockdown is destroying people, especially small businesses. You know, it's funny, the big corporations and all of those, they're doing, they're, for the most part, they're doing fine, or seem to be doing fine. It's these small businesses, the moms and pops and the, independent contractors, sole proprietors. They've been stuck out of work and without a paycheck since early March, hearing a lot from those. And I'm a small business owner myself, so I see this stuff firsthand. The universal lockdown just doesn't make sense. We're not seeing the numbers in our area, and it just simply doesn't work. You're telling people they can't go to work, but you're telling them they can go to Walmart and Menards and Lowe's and everywhere else where it looks like Black Friday. It's nonsense. It just simply doesn't work, and we need a smarter plan, a more targeted plan, and that's what I tried to put forth here, especially in light of the plan he put out.
Okay, let's talk about your three-phase plan. How what would you say are the major differences, Representative, between what the governor has out there and what you are proposing?
Yeah, number one is the sense of urgency on it. His phases are way too long. We can't move out of the current phase we are in, no matter what, until May 29th, and that's just simply too far out of there. Ours is very, very specific. Kind of how I came up with this. Number one, I just didn't have a whole lot of confidence that the Illinois Department of Public Health and the governor was going to come up with a reasonable regional plan, and I was right, so we were ahead on this. We've been working very hard for over 2 weeks on this. Put together a working group with a couple business owners, a couple of people from the medical community, and then some local leaders, and just wanted to come up with something that was safe and responsible that could take into effect immediately. And we came up with this plan here, and or the framework of the plan, and then I got some health departments involved. We had about five or six different health departments that took this, and we vetted this thing together. We worked back and forth, and we came to an agreement. So the biggest differences are the sense of urgency. This plan can go into effect if the numbers make sense in your area, which almost all of South Central Illinois and almost all of Northwestern Illinois, the numbers do make sense. It can start as soon as May 10th or as soon as the local counties do it. We really wanted to give a pathway for local government, especially at the county level, at the health department level, to start influencing policy in their areas, because we know what's best in our area, and we're all serious about keeping people safe.
When the governor's been asked about that, you've heard it many, many times. He's been asked that question. He says, well, people move around and the virus travels, and if the rural hospital systems were overwhelmed, that would be a real problem. How do you respond to that? Because I know people are saying that right now as they're hearing you talk.
The rural hospitals are empty. They are ghost towns. They are hemorrhaging. We're not going to have any rural hospitals left. We have mostly critical access hospitals down here, and they are. I have got at least two hospitals in my immediate area right now that aren't taking any inpatients at all because they can't afford it. You know, so the facts on the ground have got to come forth. We know. Any outbreaks that we have anywhere, we know where there are. They're in the congregate facilities. So we need to, our plan focuses very specifically on isolation and testing measures for those folks there. But everybody else is out, you know. And that's another thing that I have said here. You know, he talks about some of this stuff as irresponsible. It's irresponsible for local leaders to not have a plan to deal with people are just going to do what they have to do. People are not going to continue to comply when they see the actual facts on the ground in their area. And you're already seeing that. So not having a specific, measured, you know, safe approach, a plan in place is irresponsible. And that's what we're trying to implore to our local officials down here. But I will tell you what. These health officials, since we've rolled out these plans, our local health officials are coming under tremendous pressure from the bureaucracy in Springfield and Chicago to, you know, with all kinds of threats on, you know, pulling licenses and everything else. It's completely out of control. I'd be more than happy to have a conversation about it, but he's not interested in having any conversations of substance. Well, at least doing anything about any conversations of substance.
Speaking of doing anything, I think all of us would like to see legislature meet. I know we have to make sure things are safe for you folks, too, down there, but it seems as if I know some of your colleagues are calling for that to happen. Speaker Madigan doesn't seem as interested. He says that the issue for him is really, how can we make it safe? And he doesn't think so at this particular moment in time. You're seeing Congress figure it out in terms of getting some business done there. Can it be done in state legislature? Should it be done in state legislature?
It should absolutely be done. We have a government operating with no accountability. The executive branch is ruling everything by executive orders, which I don't even believe at this point are constitutional, and that's part of the problem, too. But there's no measures of accountability. And, you know, we do these, I call them press-free press conferences every day where the governor gets asked questions, mostly by his press secretary, with no ability to follow up. So even the media has a hard time getting any accountability here. But, yeah, we should be in. We're figuring it out in our you know, essential businesses every day how to do it. It's just a matter of want to on it. But you know, I think it's also important to point out that the legislature has spoken on these issues. I mean, we have got a you know, a pandemic preparedness plan that's been around for a couple decades, and it was just updated in early March by Dr. Ezeke. You know, that does a lot of the things that we're talking about here. It delegates the quarantine authorities down to the county level, and we're just simply ignoring it. And I don't understand why nobody is asking him about it.
Well, I think people are. People are saying, hey, you know, why don't we go county by county? And his response all along has been, well, people travel from county to county and people move even in a quarantine situation. Essential workers, et cetera, go
right.
Over
people
borders. And then that doesn't.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I live here where I'm an hour away from Missouri. I'm an hour away from Indiana, basically. And when we came up with this plan, we didn't pull this stuff out of thin air. We researched this. We talked to medical professionals. We've got their input. And we looked at what Indiana and Iowa were doing in Missouri. And I think you're going to see that this plan is very similar to what's going on over there. So, you know, we're traveling those places anyway. You know, and there's, I just don't understand the end game here. You know, we can't get through phase five on his plan until we have a vaccine. What if we never have a vaccine? They've been, you know, trying to get a vaccine for HIV for 35 years.
I appreciate your point that it seems as if until you have a vaccine, there is no perfect answer to the right time to reopen, whether that's June 1st, July, November 1st, or December 1st. It's always going to be contagious until you have some sort of proven treatment or a proven vaccine, and we're not there yet. And as you point out, that could be months and months away. I think the overwhelming of hospital systems is overwhelming hospital systems has been one of the issues, and sort of flattening that curve. One of the things the Tribune points out is that the governor uses a 28-day measure of cases going down in order to move from phase to phase, and they're suggesting we use the CDC recommended one, which is 14 days of cases going down. Is that part of your plan?
Yes. Each phase is got a 14-day measuring period on it. So after 14 days, we reevaluate, and if things are trending the right direction, then we can move on to to phase two, and then in another 14 days, potentially phase three. Under my plan, we could potentially be back to some sense of normalcy if the numbers on the ground make sense by July. And I think that's reasonable. I think we're seeing that in a lot of states around the country. And, you know, our plan also monitors those things as well, how these plans and procedures are going in some of these other states. And I haven't seen anything that alarms me on any of that stuff so far.
Quickly,
here. So I think we're on the right track.
Representative, let me just get this in here. When you say that opens up things at that date, do you mean like hair salons and gyms and kids' summer programs and the kinds of high contact things too? Is that part of your plan to be able to include those reopening that quickly?
Yes, potentially, if the numbers on the ground make sense to do so. I don't see why we wouldn't do that. Now, again, we're evaluating these things as we go. But yeah, we've got to get back to work. And you know, there's a lot of compelling evidence out there that kids aren't a strong vector for this virus anyway. And you know, when we look at the actual numbers from states who actually share numbers, which our state does a terrible job of, we can see exactly who's vulnerable to this, and we can see exactly who is not vulnerable to this. So there is no sense to not have a very targeted approach that gets people back going, because lives and livelihoods are going to be lost, and they're already being lost because of the lockdown, not because of the virus.
Well, we appreciate your perspective, Representative, and thank you for your time and explaining some of the counterpoints that you have to the problems that you have with the governor's plan. I think I don't know if you know, our text line is lighting up with people saying, well, he's got to be worried about safety. I think you look at this from a different perspective, and we'll have to see if the governor is open to your suggestions or if things stay just as they are. But we appreciate hearing your thoughts. Thank you, Representative.
Very much appreciate it.